Again, I count it a great honor to be here today, not because that, Lord's will, in just a little while I'm going to preach, but I count it a great honor to be a member of such a church as I stand in today.
Yes, sir.
42 years, Shirley and I have been together in a few days, and the Lord God had called me and to preach, and I didn't know what Shirley would do, but she come right by my side and helped. Got up by my side and helped me the whole way. And there's been times that's been very difficult. Been times that I have left the church with my hands up in the air and said, I'm done. I can't do any more. But you know, God has always come through.
Yes, sir.
He's always come through. There's been storm clouds rise in our life. There have been storms in our life. There's been difficulty in our life that we have to face. But I'm glad my God is a great big God.
Amen.
We're facing the little trial right now, but we're putting it all in God's hands.
Amen,
and letting Him take care of it today. I ask you to continue to pray for your brother and sister in Christ, that God will just bless them and help them. If we'll pray one for another, the storm clouds won't seem so dark. They won't seem so long if we'll just come together and pray for our brother and sister in Christ. And I want to tell you something. I'm not going to mention names tonight, but there's a family that stopped by our house and done something for me and Shirley that it's just amazing what God can do and how He can do it. You preacher, this is just a little thing, but to me it's a great big thing. We were working a week ago Saturday all day long at about 2:30. We sat there on the carport and we looked over at one another and said, well, what are we going to do for lunch? We haven't had anything for lunch and had just a light breakfast. And she said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we'll just go somewhere and get something and come back. And about that time, there's a family, a husband and wife that are members of this church. They come up the road and stop, pulled over on the side of the road. The husband got out of that vehicle and walked across our yard with a bag in his hand. He walked up to Shirley and I and said, my wife went to Kentucky Fried Chicken and bought you and Kenny some dinner.
Amen.
I looked at Shirley and Shirley looked at me. We said, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Amen. And I pray today, even today, that God would bless that family. That God would just take you and use you and help make you a better Christian because of the things we do in this walk of life. Children, I'm going to tell you something today. What we do in this life is going to help other folk if we do it in the grace and in the wisdom and the direction of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You might not think much about that, but this little preacher thinks a lot about it. Amen. I appreciate folks that mind God. I appreciate folks that do just a little something for somebody. You don't know what might do to help that person to come to Jesus Christ just by doing a little something for them and just encourage them along life's way. Now, I know how difficult it is today for a family to start, a young family, young married couple to get started. I know how difficult it is. And I hate that they done that, but I'm grateful that they done that. I knew they could take that, whatever they spend, and use it for themselves. And yet they had enough love in their heart to stop by and give us a little something to eat. May God bless you. You know who you are. I appreciate you and I love you. Shirley and I are very thankful for what you done, and I'm praying that God will bless you and help you in your walk of life. I want to share with you this evening the message that God has laid upon my heart. He gave me this in Sunday school this morning.
Amen,
and I want to share it with you today. And I sat down this afternoon and pinned down some things, and I pray that God will be a blessing and a help to you as we look to the Word of God tonight. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 8, verse number 35, I want to read just two verses, and then I'm going to preach a while, then I'll read some more. But This is what the Lord God has laid upon our heart for tonight. And young as there's storms going to come in this life. If you think you're going to get by through this life without a storm, you're a badly fooled. They're going to come. They're going to come. As I was sitting there in the class this morning, the Lord God just moved upon my heart and my life and said, listen, there is something about serving God and living for Him. There's something about facing these storms, knowing that Jesus is in control. That God the Father is there. The Holy Spirit of God is there to try to help us and lead us and guide us today. And let me say this today. Those of you, I'm glad that God has a church by the wayside that folks are not ashamed to come to this altar and pray. You know, I've got a great burden for the lost, and I know many of you have today too. But when we come to the altar and pray, let's give it to God. Let's turn it over to Him and let Him have His will and His way in that situation today. No matter what it is, sometimes we want to work it out on our own schedule, in our own way. And God said, you let me have it. You let me take it and you let me do with it what I need to do with it today. And you know, I preached a message here some time back, whatever it takes. Amen. We need to get to that point in our walk with God. Lord, whatever it takes, you go ahead and do it. Right. And young as if you don't believe, I mean, I'm telling you tonight something that I have faced in my life today. My friend, you've got to get to that point that you get on your knees and say, God, whatever it takes, that's what I want you to do. And my friend, when you do that, God will come through, that sunshine will come down and on your life, and have the grace of God will come into your heart and your life, and you'll understand then what it is just to give everything over to God and say, Lord God, I want your will to be done in that today. There was numerous people in our Sunday school class that had a burden, and they were sharing those burdens. And God began to deal with my heart about this today. And I wasn't sure I was going to preach tonight until maybe 30, 45 minutes later. Brother Mark asked me, and I knew exactly what I was going to preach. I just had to go home and get it. Amen. Get on my knees and ask God to help me with what to share with you tonight. Now, I want to try to do that tonight in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. The Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. May God add His blessing to the reading of God's Word this evening. I'm going to ask Brother Derek if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer, please. Brother Derek. Amen. Appreciating that, Brother Derek. I want to try to preach to you tonight on who shall separate us from the love of God. Youngs, I'm glad today that Jesus Christ has done something in our heart and our life that no other man or no other person can do today. And I'm glad that he put that and placed that in our heart and our life. But the Bible said there, the very first word of verse number 35, it says, who? Now, I failed the ninth grade English class in the ninth grade. I had to go to summer school and to get that made up. And I'm not much on English. I'm not much on nothing. But I had to look this word up, and I looked who up, my friend, and found out it was a pronoun. And so I looked up a pronoun and found out that a pronoun means a replacement for a noun. And it also means what person or whosoever, my friend, today. So as we look at the scripture today and see that who shall separate us from the love of Christ. Youngs, I'm telling you today that God, in this message today, that we'll look at it, we can understand today that there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ today. God has been so real and so good, and my friend, to all of us today, every one of us that is sitting in the building tonight, God has blessed us, and God will always use us if we'll be available, my friend, for His use today. We find as we look at this this today. The Bible said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. My friend, we look at those things and we evaluate the things in our life. And God led me back to the book of Daniel there in the Word of God. The Bible says there in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, there was a king called Nebuchadnezzar. And my friend, you'll find there that there was 3 Hebrew children there that were under the thumb of King Nebuchadnezzar. And you'll find that they were thrown there, my friend, in the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the king. And you talking about being in tribulation today, I want you to think about this, that somebody comes and gets you and your family and takes you down there to that fiery furnace and going to throw you in that furnace there because you wouldn't do what the king said he wanted you to do today. My friend, these 3 men stood for God. These 3 men stood for what they believed in and what they were going to do. They wasn't going to bow down to the king. My friend, they was going to live for God and serve him today. My friend, the Bible said that they were taken down there and they were thrown in, my friend, that fiery furnace. And my friend, I want to tell you something today. God in his protecting hand was with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. My friend, that same protected hand will be with you and me today. If we'll just turn our faith to God and say, Lord God, you take care of this situation. You take care of this storm that's coming up in my life. I'm laying it right at the foot of the cross, and there I'm going to leave it and let God take care of it today. Now when we get up and leave there, how, my friend, will it be on our mind and on our heart? You better believe it. It's there 24/7. When you go to sleep, it's there. When you wake up, it's there. But my friend, there's a big difference, I'm going to tell you, how, my friend, when you lay it at the cross and lay it at the altar and say, God, you take care of this thing, and then trust him that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. My friend, that's what these 3 men did here in the Word of God. And the Bible says in Daniel 3, in verse number 6, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. A little G-O-D. Amen. My friend, for no worship how the golden image which thou hast set up. My friend, we're going to have to come a place in our life today. Hey, I'm not serving the things of Satan. I'm not serving the devil. I'm serving God, my Savior today, that man that done something for me that nobody else could do.
Amen.
My friend, they said, listen, O king, if we die down there in that furnace, my friend, I'm going to tell you this. Let it be known that we're not going to serve you, but we're serving the Almighty God today. Young, so I'm going to tell you something. God made this body. God can heal this body. God can take care of this body. He can take care of situations in our life today if we'll just realize who can separate us from the love of Christ. My friend, there's not anything that can separate us from the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friend, the Bible said here, there in the Word of God, my friend, back in the book of Romans, he said there shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. My friend, he covered just about everything, my friend, that may come up in our life. My friend, I want to tell you something, children. These things are going to come. As long as you and I are in this world, these things are going to come. You're going to have problems. You'll have problems in your home. And I'm not talking about between a husband and wife. My friend, I'm talking about physical problems there in the home. And I've often thought that sometimes the devil lets a water line break just to keep you out of house of God. Sometimes I think the devil does things in there to you spend some money on a new furnace, my friend, just to take that away from the family. My friend, I'm going to tell you something today, if you'll just let God have his will and way in your heart and your life, my friend, things will always work out. It'll always work out. My friend, we just need to trust God and believe Him today. We find also in the book of Daniel chapter number 6, how there we find also another man. My friend, that Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because, my friend, he was another that would not bow. I bow down, my friend, today. The Bible said there in the Word of God, in verse number 5 of chapter number 6, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. My friend, I'll tell you something today. Daniel was an upright man. He was a good moral man. My friend, they couldn't find a thing wrong with Daniel. He said, but we can find something wrong with the law of his God. My friend, I want to tell you something today. They knew that Daniel prayed. They knew that Daniel went in there and got on his knees and prayed to God three times a day. They knew all about that. So they went to Darius the king and said, listen, oh king, you need to make a proclamation that whoever prays to somebody besides you, they should be tucked down there and thrown into the den of lions. My friend, you know what Daniel done? Bible said that he went that way and opened up the windows, and my friend got there and went and began to pray and talk to God. My friend, that's how much courage Daniel had. And my friend, he wasn't worried about being thrown out there in the den of lions. He was worrying about doing what God wanted him to do. My friend, to pray and seek his face and seek his will. My friend, today, the Bible said there in the Word of God, in verse number 16, it talks about the king, how he brought, commanded Daniel that my friend be cast in the lion's den. My friend, we go down to verse number 22. Bible said, my God hath set his angel and hath shut his lion's mouth, and they have no hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Daniel said, I'm going to tell you something, king. My friend, you throwed me in that den of lions. My friend, you got the next morning, you thought I was going to be ripped to pieces. But I was sitting there and one of them lions on my lap, I just stroking its mane. Say, hey, good lion, good kitty. My friend, I want to tell you something today. One of these days, my friend, there's going to be a lion coming up in your life. My friend, I want to tell you something today. My friend, that lion is nothing compared to God Almighty. That lion is nothing to be compared with the Son of God. That lion is nothing to be compared with the Holy Spirit of God. Youngs, that's what we need in this life. We need that in our heart and our life to face the storms of this life today. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. My friend, listen. It's coming to every one of us. It's coming. But my friend, how we handle that is the key to all that we do today. My friend Daniel was when it went done exactly what God told him to do. You know what the king done? On down there in Scripture, verses 25, a couple of down verses down there, the Bible said that he made a new decree. He said everybody's going to worship the God of Daniel. Everybody's going to worship him. Youngs, I'm going to tell you something. Through every storm, there's some good that comes out of those storms. The other evening, and I know some of you that live around here remember it very well, we had a bad storm come through. And Shirley and I were out, walked outside after the storm was over, and there was a rainbow come over there. And Shirley said, look, y'all, aren't that rainbow? I said, yeah, ain't that pretty? About this time, there come a double rainbow, another rainbow, two of them, that come over like that. And, you know, the very thing I thought about was God's mercy. After every storm, God's mercy always is there. It'll always be there. It'll always help us. It'll always be there whenever we're doing what God would have us to do today. Youngs, and we is just like Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These men stood the fire of hell itself. But my friend, God delivered them.
Amen.
There wasn't even the smell of smoke on Daniel, Shadrach, and Megindigo. My friend, I want to tell you something. God knows and God cares about us today. These storms that come, we're going to face them, sure. They're going to be in our life. But my friend, how we handle these storms is what God really wants us to do in our life today. My friend, we find not only there, But if you'll find in the book of Acts, if you go back to the Romans and turn back one chapter there, you'll find in the book of Acts in chapter number 26 of that great book, you'll find somebody else, my friend, that stood. All the fiery darts of Satan, my friend, everything that Satan wanted to do, my friend, in his heart and his life, my friend, he withstood those. But I want you to know this in Acts 26 and verse number 13 through verse number 18 of that chapter. You'll find, my friend, that this great man, the Apostle Paul, my friend, he gives an answer. And so must we, my friend, have an answer for ourselves. Paul gives his testimony. You and I have got to have a testimony today to give an answer for why we believe like we believe. Youngers, if you don't have that testimony, you need to get in the altar. Let God give you that testimony today. Listen, the Bible says in chapter 26 and verse number 13, and this is Paul's answer. He said, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and all those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." My friend Paul stood there before the king and he said, "Oh king, let me tell you what God done in my life. How God came in and God spoke to me. My friend, I had fallen on my knees before Him. My friend, He spoke to my heart and my life. And that's what He gave me today." My friend, He gave Paul that. And youngins, every one of us today, if we're saved by God's grace, we have a testimony. That testimony ought to be dear and near to our heart. That testimony ought to be with us every time that we go out of the house, come into the house. My friend, that testimony ought to be with us out there in the world today to know that Jesus Christ done something for us that no man could ever do. My friend Paul stood there before that king and said, "Oh king, let me tell you what God has done for me." My friend, he had an answer. And youngins, we need an answer today. If somebody come up to you tomorrow and says, "Hey, Kenny, you tell me why that you're saved. Why you think you're saved?" If you ain't got an answer like that, youngs, you need to get on your knees. You need to get on your knees and start praying to God. "God, you help me to have a testimony. You give me what I need to tell that lost person that they need Jesus in their heart and their life." Youngs, I want to tell you something. I'm being honest with you tonight. I am burdened over lost sinners. Amen. I am burdened over them that we can come in and have 300 people in our church and my friend, nobody come to the altar and get saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's one or two things wrong. We're not praying like we should. Or these folks are just playing church. I believe it's the first. We're not praying like we should. We need to pray, "God, you go in there and whatever it takes to get my lost loved one into the house of God, you do it." You understand? And listen, when you pray that prayer and God moves, don't you back up on God.
Come on.
My friend, you let God do His work in your prayer life toward that person that you're praying for. I'm telling you, folk, not something that I've experienced myself. Shirley and I have experienced this ourselves. We know what we're talking about. You've got to get serious with God. Lord God, I want you to do in that person's life whatever it takes, God, to get them to the house of God and get them saved by the grace and by the power of God. My friend, the Bible said there, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Youngs, when I read this, my friend, God just blessed me up one side and down the other. God is so good today. My friend, He is so good today. He says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. My friend, I'm going to tell you something today. The world does not like a born-again saint of God. My friend, the world hates you and I today. But, youngs, listen, we need to love the world that enough that they might see Jesus in our heart and our life and come down to an altar and be saved by the grace of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you stand and preach the Word of God, my friend, you're going to have things happen to you that you never thought would happen. You wouldn't believe, my friend, some of the things how that has come, no doubt, in our pastor's life and in my life or anybody that stands on the Word of God. My friend, you're going to have some things come in your life. The first thing I want to do is pick up a ball bat and go to swinging. That's the flesh. That's the first thing I want to do. My friend, I want to retaliate. My friend, but listen, the Spirit of God says, now listen, you just calm down and let me take care of this. My friend, when I done that, I mean, I just put a smile on my face and God calmed me down a little bit and my friend, God took care of things today. Youngs, I want to tell you something. If you live for Jesus Christ and you serve Him, not everybody's going to like you. But my friend, I'm not in a popularity contest anyway. Amen. Folks, you know, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's all I can tell you. I preached this way for 35, 36 years of my life. I preached the Word of God. I pounded on the Word of God. I tried to help folk to get where they needed to be.
Right.
Some of them come, some of them didn't.
Right.
But it ain't all up to me. God didn't tell me that there'd be 1,000 saved under my ministry. He said, you know what He told me to do? He said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what He told me to do. I've been doing that for a long time. And I praise God. I love it. Amen. I love to preach. If you don't want me to preach, you better not ask me. Amen. Because I am going to preach. Amen. My friend, listen, I want you to know today that God loves us. He cares about us. And the storms come in our life. But I'm glad that God will take care of all the storms that come in our life. The Bible said there, He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let me tell you something about that word conquerors tonight. My friend, if you go back to the Koine Greek and you look that word up and you study on that word means super conquerors, my friend and I. We are super conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Youngs, we got it made. All we got to do is do it. God, you take care of this storm that's coming in my life. I'm a super conqueror. My friend, God has blessed us and helped us because our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said we are super conquerors today. God does so many things in our life, youngs, that we don't even realize until He's done. We turn around and look and say, well, that must have been God. Must have been God. I couldn't do it. My friend, when it comes like that, you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself in your prayer closet on your knees weeping and crying and calling on God, my friend, to take care of things. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
I'm so glad that my family been saved by the grace of God. Some of you older folks know all about us Andersons. But I want to tell you something today. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, there wouldn't have one of us been here today. Every one of us has been dead in hell today. But thank God for Calvary Baptist Church that's not afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. Not closed or altered like some have. My friend that stands and got a pastor that stands and preaches the Word of God. Gun barrel straight and let her land where she goes. My friend, then it's all up to you and I today. Youngs, we're blessed. We are blessed. And we need to see folks saved by the grace of God. We only, listen, I have witnessed, I'm not saying this bragging. My brother Gwen, some of you, Brother Woody's been with him on visitation years and years ago. I told this right in front of his church and his whole congregation, and I'm telling the truth. I've been with Gwen on many, many visitations. That man has won more people to Christ than any man I've ever known. He's got a spirit about him like I've never been in my life. There is such a loving, sweet spirit about Gwen. I mean, he can take the rottenness of man physically and just get on his knees and pray that God will touch his soul. God will save his soul. And my friend, Lord God will come into his heart and his life and save that man. Amen. He is such a blessing today. And youngs, you know what? If I bring that up, man, it just gets all over him. He said, listen, I'm doing it because of what God done for me. I've told you, I know I have probably about the story the first time Gwen, after he got saved, coming in the church. All he had was a big old family Bible, about that big. He carried that thing in this doors back here and come to this church. I want to tell you something, young'uns. God's done something for our family, all of our family. God's blessed us. God's helped us. Have we had storms? Oh, yes. Yes, sir. We have had storms. But thank God for Jesus, my friend, that can take care of all these storms. He said we are super conquerors tonight. My friend, I want to tell you something. It's not you and me. It's all God. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's all the Son, Jesus Christ. My friend, that's what it is tonight. We can get out here and work our legs off. We can go to every house in this community. We can pass out flyers and everything else and work ourselves to the bone. But if we're not on our knees praying to God, asking God to intervene and asking God's will to be done in the hearts and lives of these people who's lost without God, you're just wasting your time. The Holy, I'm going to tell you something. What drew you, my friend, to an altar? The Holy Spirit of God. That Holy Ghost got a hold of your heart and drew you to the altar. And there's where you found Jesus to be real to your heart and your soul. And young'uns, these people see that in our everyday walk, our life that we live. My family, I knew them. When I went into the army, I didn't know them when I come back out of the army. Changed. Different. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. I didn't say a whole lot when I went home because I didn't know what to say. We got back to the house, a little trailer me and Shirley lived in. I looked at her and I said, I don't know what happened there. I said, but man, there's something going on back there. But you know how long it was? About 31 days, I believe, Tam's what it was. October the 13th, 1973. Walked through those doors and that same Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. Brother Feldman preaching his heart out. But he gave an invitation, they didn't have to beg me to go. Brother, the Holy Spirit of God done had a hold of my heart in my life. My friend, it's all because of my family that prayed for me. I was the lowest of low. But Jesus Christ seen something in me. And my friend, I'm glad he saved me today. And I'm glad you're saved tonight. I hope and pray that everybody in the building is saved tonight. But young'uns, I'm going to tell you something today. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The Bible said there in the Word of God, tribulation, persecution. He said, no, nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I don't care your status in this life. I don't care where you're a high, middle, or low. I don't care. My friend, what I'm caring about is whether or not you're saved by God's grace. And I love to have fellowship with those that are born again by God's amazing grace. And I'm honest with you. This church, There's not many like this church. Youngs, we ought to be proud of Calvary Baptist Church. Not in a boastful way, but in a way that we know that God's Spirit is here. He's real today. And if it's been said time and time again, if every one of us would just turn loose and let God have His way in our heart and our life, my friend, it'd be more spiritual than what it is. I've been a shouter all my life. I shouted at Arbor Grove. I'll shout here. I'll shout anywhere I go when God moves on my heart. I mean, that's just the way old Kenny is. I mean, that's it. I am what I am. But I want to tell you something, young'uns. To get folks saved by God's grace, to get a storm cloud out of somebody's life, you got to get down and get personal with God. You got to get out there and get personal with Him. Say, now, God, I want you to do this and here. I want you to take this and whatever you need to do, God, you do it. I don't care what it is. That's hard to say when it's a loved one. That's hard to say when it's a son or daughter. But I want to tell you something. I'd rather see them. Hey, the Bible says it's better to go into heaven, my friend, maimed or halt, my friend, than to go in hell with an entire body. My friend, listen to me. Heaven is waiting on you and I today. And we get over there, we'll go into that place of shouting. The first time you see Jesus Christ, I believe you're going to hit your knees, grab Him around the feet, and say, Lord God, thank you for saving an old wretch like me. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my heart and my life. Youngs, I'm going to tell you, it's worth everything that you and I face in this life. Every burden, everything that comes, my friend, every storm that comes in our life, we ought to be thankful for the storms that come. Those storms will drive us to our knees. Say, Lord God, you take care of this. You help me and take care of this problem. My friend, God will move. You'd be amazed what God can do if we'll just allow Him, my friend, to do that today. The Bible is saying, there in the Word of God, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Buddy, I want to tell you something today. Whenever we get persuaded, my friend, we've got to get to that point in our life that God persuades us. My friend, we find ourselves praying to God in a storm cloud that's come over our life. And God comes in there and said, I'm going to persuade you right now. Two of my brothers are here tonight. You go back and ask them what mom and daddy used for a persuader. It didn't take but one time. And then all that had to be done was, Kenneth, always called me Kenneth. Never, ever called me Kenny. She said, Kenneth, I told you to wash them dishes. You know what I got done? I got up and got them dishes washed. My friend, Jesus said, God said, the Holy Spirit said, the Word of God said, I am persuaded. Thank God if you ever get persuaded one time, you won't have to ask no more. My friend, you'll know what to do. The Bible said, I am persuaded that neither height nor death, my friend, or principalities or powers, my friend, are things present or things to come, my friend, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Not a thing. Jesus loves us that much. My friend, when those storm clouds come, just get on your knees. Say, Lord, you said you loved me. And there's nothing can separate His love between us today. And young'uns, we just pray to God. Lord God, you take this thing and you do with it what you need to be done. And everything else is going to be all right. Now, I want to tell you something. It might not be done the way that you think it ought to be done. Sometimes we want things done now and done the way I want them done and done right now. God says, I'm going to do them on my timetable, and I'm going to do them on my way. You see, God knows that heart. God knows that life. And my friend, I want to tell you something today, that God, when He does something, my friend, it's done right. You don't have to worry about a makeover. You won't have to worry about a recap. My friend, when He does it right the first time. My friend, what can separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Storms is going to come. They're going to be there. How you handle those storms is all up to you. My friend, you can take them to Jesus, lay them on the altar, say, Lord God, You take care of this storm in my life. Whatever Your will is, I'm right there with You, God. You just help me. My friend, He'll do that in your heart and your life today. Young'uns, I'm praying for this church. I pray for every preacher in this church. When I first come here, I thought some of you were preachers that wasn't preachers, and some of you that were preachers wasn't preachers, but I finally figured everybody out, I think. I've been praying that God would open doors for these men. I've been giving churches these men's names. I'm praying that God will take you and use you for His honor and His glory. You see, I'm at the twilight of my life. I'm just about ready to go home to be with the Lord. I'm going to leave out of here one of these days. And my friend, these men are going to have to take over. And we need to pray for them. I have a burden for the men of God that stand and preach the Word of God gun barrel straight. I'm praying for you. I pray for our pastor every single day. He's getting prayed for. And that little house down on the right-hand side of the road, my friend, he's getting prayed for. And I know you are too. But youngs, we need to pray and ask God's will to be done. And when these storm clouds come, youngs, God said, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? There's absolutely nothing. I told you this is a, who is a personal pronoun. Now, I don't, like I said, I don't know much about English, but if it was a storm in our life, if it was something, a hurricane, it wouldn't be a who. But my friend, the Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's people out there that want to tear you down, want to hurt you, and you cannot retaliate. You've got to love them back. In a low, Christ-like faith, and say, no, I'm not arguing with you. I'm not fighting back with you. But I want to tell you this. I love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And young'uns, I want to tell you something today. God, in all of His wisdom, He knows so much more than you and I do today. He knows what we need. I asked my pastor. I love to when I was a pastor in church, if somebody come to the altar, I asked them, you know what the first thing I asked them? I've asked some of you that have come, when I first come here, when you come down the altar, the very first thing I ask them, are you saved? I want to know that first thing. If you're not saved, we're going to go into the Word of God and show you how to get saved. Then I ask them what the problem is. How can you pray for somebody if you don't know what the problem is? Now listen to me. When you tell me something, I absolutely ain't going to tell nobody else. When you tell your pastor something, our pastor something, he's not going to run around and tell everybody else. You've got to watch who you talk to. I understand that. But my friend, when the man of God comes and gets down there beside of you and asks you, you know, if you're saved, yes, I'm saved. Well, what's the problem? So I know how to pray for you. And whenever you tell that problem, then I know how to pray. Then I know, I say, God, You take care of whatever this problem is. You help this individual. I'm telling you what I do. I asked my pastor, I said, "Pastor, do you care if I go down with the ladies, or do you have some way of you doing things?" Because after I began to look, the men would go to the men and the ladies would go to the ladies. And that's fine. But I want you to know this, young'uns. The first thing I want to know is you're saved. The second thing I want to know is what's your problem. And I guarantee you it'll never be said out of this mouth. It'll never be said. You've got confidence in this man to know that it'll never be said. My friend, I love you today. If I come to this altar and you ask me if I'm saved, I'm going to tell you right quick, yes, I am. If you ask me what the problem is, I'm going to tell you, if I've got confidence in you, that you ain't going to go out and blab it all over the community. Right. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Because I want you to be specific in your prayer.
Come on.
You've got to go to God in prayer, in faith, believing, and tell Him exactly what you want.
Right.
If it's just an ordinary prayer, that's good. God knows all about us today. Anyway, I understand that, but God wants us to say it.
Right.
Lord, I'm having a problem, and I just want to lay this problem out here on the altar and give it to you. Let me tell you something quickly, and I'm going to quit meddling and get down. A pastor has problems, has things in his life that you don't know about. Many, many times in my life, I have had problems in my life praying for other people, not said a word to nobody. But I'd go down there at the church, and I'd go in that church, and I'd get on my knees, and I'd go to praying. I've not one time heard those church doors open when I've been in there praying. Not one time. Has the devil walked into that church? My friend, not one time. But God has been there and God has heard every prayer that I prayed. I received a letter one day through the mail. And it wasn't a very nice letter. I took that letter down there. The Bible, you'll find it in the Word of God. Well, the man of God took that letter and he laid it there on the altar and spread it out. Began to pray. You know what I done? I took that letter. I laid that thing out on the altar. And I said, "God, you know all about this. You know it was an unknown. There's too chicken to sign their name to it." I said, "Lord, God, you know all about this letter. I'm giving it back to you. And you take care of it." About two Sundays later, God gave me a message on that letter. And I let her go. Nobody owned up to it, but God knows who done it. Youngs, we need to be specific about our prayer life. You pray and tell God specifically what you're looking for. When I'm praying and listen, I love to preach, but I'm not going to preach. You don't understand that. I know you don't. You know why I don't wear a tie on Wednesday night or Sunday when the brother pastor's not asked me to preach? I'm not going to preach. If I go to a church and I go in that church and I've got a suit on, you know what the first thing that pastor's going to do? If he knows me, he's going to say, "Preacher, I want you to preach today." I don't want that. I want that preacher to lay me on that pastor's heart. And then ask me, and then, buddy, I can bring both barrels, amen? And just do what God would have me to do. And you know, listen to me today. We need to get to that point in our life that we're specific on what we need to pray about. Been a couple of weeks since I preached, I guess. I can't remember. But I pray, "Lord, you open a door for me." When I pray, "God, you open a door for me," I prayed that prayer 2 weeks ago. I got a phone call from Brother Jamie. He said, "Preacher, God has laid you on my heart to come up and preach for me." You know what I said?
"Thank you, Lord."
I said, "Yes, sir. I'll be there. You tell me the time, and I'll be there." You understand what I'm saying, children? Be specific in what you're asking God. If you're praying for a lost sinner, call that sinner's name out. Call that person's name out. It's lost. Say, God, you saved this individual. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Absolutely nothing. He knows all about us today. He loves us today. Young'uns, I love preaching and I love to help. Every message I preach, I want it to be a help. I do not want it to be a hindrance. I do not want it to be something that you like me more. You know, I don't it, really, and I'm not being ugly. I want everybody to like Kenny Anderson. But if you don't like me because how I preach, I'm going to smile at you and shake your hand anyway. But listen, we need to be specific when we pray. And we need to know that storm clouds is going to come. And we need to know that Jesus, there's not absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. God said, I love you. I love you to the end. Amen. You know what my wife and I, we write little notes back and forth. I love you forever and a day. That covers all time, Tam. All time. I love you forever and a day. I love you, church, forever and a day. If there's anything I can do, if it ain't nothing but an ear to listen, I'm the fourth house on the right. And when you come, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to see me in a suit. Probably 10 times out of 10, you're not going to see me in a suit. And I'm not going to be sitting all cleaned up either. I like the outside. And I'm not afraid of work. But I love you forever and a day. I love this man right here forever and 2 days. He's a good one. If he wasn't a good one, I wouldn't be here. May God bless you is our prayer.